With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The U.S. has lifted restrictions on travel from a long list of countries, including Mexico, Canada, and most of Europe.
The new rules allow air travel from previously restricted countries as long as the traveler has proof of vaccination and a negative COVID test. Land travel from Mexico and Canada requires proof of vaccination, but no test. Airlines are expecting more travelers from Europe and elsewhere and are increasing flights between the UK and the US by 21% this month over last month. US towns on the southern border have been devastated by a lack of business and are hoping Monday's reopening will bring a flood of visitors to the businesses that rely on them. I'm Julie Walker.
Also at SRNNews.com, another major railroad has gone to court to determine whether it has the authority to require all its employees to get vaccinated against the coronavirus. BNSF Railroad filed a lawsuit Sunday against its major unions over the mandate. It joins Norfolk Southern and Union Pacific, which filed similar lawsuits against the unions last month. The unions argue the railroad should have negotiated with them before imposing their mandates. More bad news for President Biden in a new national poll from USA Today and Suffolk University. Greg Clugston has more.
The poll shows a 38% approval rating for the president and just 28% job approval for Vice President Harris. 44% of independents say Mr. Biden has done worse than they expected, and so do 16% of those who voted for him. The USA Today Suffolk University survey also finds that more than a quarter of Democrats don't want Joe Biden to run for re-election. Greg Clugston, The White House.
On Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 103 points. The S&P up 8 points. This is SRN News.
A coastal flood warning is in effect until Tuesday at 10 p.m. For your Monday, sunny and breezy. Expect the high 67. Tonight, clear and cool. Low down to 46. Tuesday, sunny, a little bit warmer. High 73. Tuesday night, mostly clear. Low 56. Wednesday, mostly sunny. High 74. And Thursday, Veterans Day, partly sunny. High 76.
Harold Berman is the teacher in Israel. Pastor Dave McGarrah is the preacher from Idaho. And so the dialogue begins each week 9,000 miles apart as they host the teacher and the preacher to bridge the distance between Jews and Christians. Hear the latest conversation between a Christian pastor and an Orthodox Jew as they seek to inspire, enlighten, and open listener minds and hearts to deeper levels of faith. To learn more and listen to past shows, visit theteacherandthepreacher.com. Saturdays at 11 a.m. on The Truth and always at theteacherandthepreacher.com.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hello and welcome to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. So happy you are listening today. I am Taylor Johnson, and if you'd like to join our discussion, please call us at 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT. Or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. Well, it's been a week, but Doug McCary is back in the studio. Doug, how you doing today?
I am, Taylor. It's good to be back with you. I missed you guys, but I sure appreciate Brad and David Gray stepping in and, the interview with Aaron on Thursday. So thank you guys for just keeping it together and letting me go away. It was awesome. Got to be with some really great guys last week and you know, anytime you can be around a Navy SEAL or Marine, that's a cool thing. And I was around both last week. So, speaking of guys in the military, on Thursday, it's Veterans Day. And I think they're planning a big thing downtown, maybe a parade.
Oh, really?
Here in Jacksonville. Yep. And so I don't know, probably you can check with your local news in Mississippi or out in Idaho or wherever, up in Virginia Beach on the Lighthouse, down in St. Aug. Everybody may be doing their own thing, but I know in Jacksonville they are. Do you know the history of Veterans Day?
Yeah, that was the day that the armistice happened, right?
Yeah.
To end World War One.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. Remember what World War One was known as?
The Great War.
The war to end all wars. Yeah, it was. And so it officially ended when the Treaty of Versailles was signed in June of 1919. Fighting had ceased 7 months earlier when the armistice was declared. And you know when it was declared? It was at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, they regard November 11th officially as the end of the war to end all wars. So, they celebrate Veterans Day. We do want to remember our veterans. Pray for them. There's a lot going on with the veterans. There's a lot of the veterans involved that they're looking at, not just veterans. There's other people that are looking at losing their jobs because they've had COVID. They don't feel a need to take the vaccine, and yet they're being told. But I heard there was an appeals court out in Texas in that area that overturned that and said that they can't mandate it.
Well, they put a stay on it.
Put a stay, so they can't. Force them out.
But there are companies such as Fox and Newsmax that are still pushing forward and mandating it, and they're using that OSHA guideline to do so.
It's going to have to go to the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. I think, because it's going to affect all. But anyway, on Thursday, there is a City of Jacksonville Veterans Day Parade, and it starts, I think, at 11 a.m. If you want to go downtown, might want to get there a little early, before 11. So other than that, the big thing out in Houston was kind of bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't even know who Travis Scott was. I guess he's a rapper.
Yeah, he is.
Probably why I didn't know who he was. But not that there's anything wrong with rappers, but apparently at this concert, people thought they were being jabbed by something. Well, some people thought a security guard said he felt jabbed.
Well, then they had to revive him with Narcan, yeah. So there were jabs going
around.
And
tell people what Narcan is again.
It's so if you get, like if you touch fentanyl or something like that, it's to get your heart back going, right? It's like a, I don't know exactly how it works. I'm not a scientist. I just know that's what you give people.
I know I'd seen people who were out in California who just opened a trunk with fentanyl in it, and they literally almost died, but they had to give them that same thing. So since we have people listening up in the Virginia Beach area, this is interesting. A lady named Lori Ann Talons paid for a new kitchen, sunroom, in-ground swimming pool. Her family took trips. She shopped and dined out while paying little or nothing for what they consumed because they were operating a $31.8 million coupon fraud scheme.
Oh, wow.
Out of their home. And it's one of the largest coupon fraud schemes ever discovered in the United States. She just got sentenced to 12 years in prison. She's up in the Virginia area. 12 years in prison after pleading guilty to mail fraud, wire fraud, and healthcare fraud. Her husband was sentenced to over 7 years. And they have been ordered to pay $31.8 million to retailers, but I'm telling you, that money spent a lot of it. But one of the fraud victims, they took advantage of people who like coupons. That's just crazy, isn't it, that they took down over – they're responsible for $31 million worth of fraud. This lady gave them coupons for $24.99 off a $25 box of diapers.
Wow.
And it would work. You would take it in and they'd scan the coupon and people would get it off. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
When did they catch her?
They had coupons all through their house that they were printing up and putting out, but they apparently were good enough that they worked. And so, and people would subscribe to her service to get the coupons, and they paid her over almost $500,000 just to get her service.
Wow.
And they're just printing out these coupons and send them. So anyway, Virginia Beach people, you might want to check your coupons and make sure they're not from her. But anyway, That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if somebody that creative put their thoughts into real, honest work, what mm-hmm. they could accomplish. It always never ceases to amaze me that how criminals put all that stuff out there and the effort into breaking the law. And if they would apply themselves into legal stuff, they could probably do well, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I think, I don't know. It's interesting. I think part of it maybe is just what you learn and what you see, but probably part of it to do it legally is a lot harder work. You know what I mean? And maybe not as creative, but still harder. So I would have guessed that's why people do what they do. But yeah.
Well, and since I was out of town, big news up in Virginia, who, you know, the lighthouse mm-hmm. up there. Glenn Youngkin defeated McAuliffe. But what was amazing is Lori told me that one of the first things they did at his victory announcement was they prayed. Mm. How cool is that? They yeah. had a pastor, one of the pastors from a church up there, step up and led in prayer before they ever did anything. Mm. And so I just think that's awesome and excited.
But you know he's a racist, though, right?
Well, come on, Taylor. I was trying to focus on the positive. I was focusing on the positive. He came in.
Well, if you listen to the media, that's he is. Black lady just won first statewide office, but, you know,
congratulations to her, too. She was a former Marine,
mm-hmm.
too. Yeah.
So was her husband. Winsome Sears.
Yeah. Great name. I listened to an interview she did, thought she was great. And listen, politics aside, I think it's really incredible that they start off the victory thing with a prayer. I mean, just to give God the credit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about their spiritual lives, but I just think just to present that is great. Bad news for the Gator fans. It was a bad weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very bad weekend. South Carolina defeated them pretty handily, and that's not a good sign because South Carolina is not rocking the SEC this year. Not that we need to get off into sports too much, but I say all that to say we need to pray for the Gators.
and their fans.
Yeah, pray for their families, the coaches. It was pretty rugged for them. I felt bad. Anyway, I was glad to be back in the studio today. I miss being here. I miss being able to interact with you. And, I wanted to let our listeners know tomorrow because I will be doing something with Taylor with a ministry here in town. We are going to replay a previous broadcast, and it's really been very well requested already. I played it just a couple of weeks ago, and it was a lady I met up in Missouri, Holly Snell, who wrote a book with her sister called Dancing on My Ashes, a very, very powerful interview. And I'm gonna have her play that tomorrow, or have them play that tomorrow of her interview. It was really, really well done. And so if you want to get perspective, listen to that interview, because her and her sister have a very powerful story. They wrote this book called Dancing on My Ashes. Very solid. And Taylor and I will be back on Wednesday. And so it's good to be back with you. And we're looking at, I know y'all covered Cornelius, but Cornelius is such a pivotal moment in the church history. And it's such a great thing that we're going to talk about it again this week, today and Wednesday. And I look forward to kind of discussing it with you.
Yeah, it'll be good. Obviously, it'll be nice to get your perspective on it for people who haven't been at SWAT meetings. That's something good. Did you see, we got 1 minute left. Did you see that about the spending bill getting passed, or the infrastructure bill getting passed with 13 Republicans helping? Otherwise they wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yes, but I think it's going to be a bad deal for the Democratic Party. I don't think it's going to be a positive thing.
Well, you know? I just think that 13 Republicans to go along with that, that's just a bad look and raises questions about the Republican Party at large, in my mind.
Well, unless they did it because they wanted it to pass, so they wanted it to be hanging on them. If you get into that political thinking, I don't know. But I'm excited to get into Cornelius. We're going to get into Acts 10 when we come back, and I look forward to maybe taking anybody's call at the last segment today.
All right, so stick with us. We will be back with more after the break. You are listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a ministry dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope and coming alongside those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's Word and share encouraging testimonies of transformed lives. Highway to Eternity Ministries serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175.
All My Hope by David Crowder. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And if you are just joining us, we are going to be looking at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 33 this week. We did look at that last week, but that was while Doug was out of town. So we're going to pick it up and check it out again with a fresh perspective.
Well, and yeah, I you know, as part two, because I know you guys talked about it, I think it's such an important part of what's going on. And the reason I think it's important is because when you consider who it was happening to, and who was the one who God used to kind of bring Cornelius in. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He was not just a Roman citizen. He was not just a Roman soldier. He was a Roman centurion. The Roman centurions, the way the structure of the Roman army was set up is you had a legion, and that legion was made up of 6,000 men, and that legion was made up of cohorts, and each cohort was made up of six centuries, and so you had six centuries or six centurions that would lead one cohort, And so here he is, a leader of one of those 100-man groups. And when we think of centurion, you know, we read a name like Cornelius, and we don't think, if you really want to get an idea, there's a movie called The Centurion or The Eagle. There's a few out there that can give you an idea about Roman centurions.
There's actually a brand new show called The Barbarian that came out last year.
Very good. Really?
They speak in Latin and Germanic, so you have to read you have to read subtitles, but it's really well done as far as
the history.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing I like. A Gladiator, another. Now again, these movies they carry an R rating because they're bloody, because that was the way life was back then. But when we see Cornelius in Scripture, don't just gloss over him as a Roman soldier. This guy was battle hardened. He was in Palestine, and he was over in Caesarea, which is where that really Pontius Pilate's headquarters was. And so They would have had a fairly fortified port there because that was considered one of the greatest seaports of that time. And so for Cornelius to be in that area, he knew what was going on. And when you consider Peter was the leader of the way. Now, I mean, Jesus was off the scene. He had resurrected, and he left Peter to kind of lead that group. And so Peter's reputation would have been known. He had already been thrown in jail, not once, but twice. And the Romans most certainly would have been talking about the threat of the way. I mean, they were like the ISIS to the Jewish people of that day, but they weren't subversive in the sense they were violent. They were just getting the word out, but they were having such a power that 8,000 followers have new followers are on board. And so Peter was over in Jerusalem, and as you taught a few weeks ago, God brought him through Joppa and to Caesarea, but he put him in Joppa for about 2 years. And while he's in Joppa, God gives him a vision, and we're going to have you read the section we're going to look at today. Today, we're just going to look at the first, we'll look at the first 26 verses, maybe. Actually, we'll look at the first 8 verses today, because I think it's important just to see what's going on with Cornelius and how God is moving in this man who is not a believer yet. He is not a follower of Jesus. He certainly heard of Jesus because he's in Caesarea. The Romans would have known who Jesus was. This is probably about 10 years after his death. The following or the way of, you know, is still growing. And Peter's leading the group, and he would have known that just because he would have been briefed on threats to this peace in that area. So I'm going to have you read verses 1-8, and we're just going to talk about Cornelius. And this week, again, I know you covered it last week, but I want to go over it again, that his salvation experience has some elements that are part of every salvation experience, yours, mine, everybody. In fact, I dare say there's no salvation experience that does not include these elements in it. And so the first element is that he works through a divinely orchestrated plan. God has a plan for each person. Now, that's kind of wild when you think about the creator of the universe having a divine plan to bring you into his family. I mean, that your value is not based on what any human thinks, but it's based on the fact that God ordained you to be part of his family. Second, he works through divinely ordained priests. He has deployed priests all over the world. If you're his, you are one of his priests. So he works through these divinely ordained priests. Third, in every salvation experience, people have a divine opportunity to profess their loyalty and their love toward God. I mean, it's not just a simple, I mean, for some people, it may be raising a hand. To raise a hand in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or Atlanta, Georgia, is not the same as raising a hand over in Afghanistan or in China. And so that may be an opportunity, but there is an opportunity to profess your love and loyalty to Christ in every salvation experience, because you see that at some point you differentiate yourself between the world and Jesus. I mean, the world has its people that are Satan's sons that will always be his sons and daughters, and then Jesus has his people. And so he gives you this opportunity to profess. And fourth, there's this divine observable presence. The presence of God is always observable in somebody's salvation experience. Now, it may not be manifested in some supernatural weird way, like Paul getting, you know, blinded on the road to Damascus. It's usually manifested through his people, and that's what we see with Cornelius. And by the way, even with Saul, it was manifested through people who? Ananias, right?
Yeah.
And so read verses 1-8, and today we're going to look at this divinely orchestrated plan that God puts together and how he works through a divinely orchestrated plan, starting in Acts chapter 10, verse 1.
All right. At Caesarea, there was a man there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Then the angel who spoke to him had departed. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having relayed everything to them, he sent them to Joppa.
Joppa. He sent them to Joppa. That's an important name. It's mentioned twice just in this small section you read. Joppa is current day Jaffa, but it's also the place where a prophet tried to run away from God, and that'll be important as we go later in the week. But let's just look at these first eight verses here. Starting in verse 1, Caesarea, as I shared, was a city. It was the largest seaport in the world at this time, bigger than Alexandria, which was a huge seaport. And it was built by King Herod for Caesar. King Herod built this amazing, he actually built a swimming pool in the sea itself. He was able he was a phenomenal engineer, or had phenomenal engineers to build all this stuff. And so I've walked the ruins of Caesarea, and even it's just magnificent to look at the way it would have been laid out. They had a theater there. They had a place for the chariot races there. It was fortified, and that's where Cornelius was. And notice what it says. He was a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. There's that word cohort, which was made up of what? Six centuries. And so what does that Italian tell you? That he was from Rome. This was not a guy who was Jewish over there. This was a Roman Gentile who was on mission to defend Pontius Pilate. He was part of the defense system there against subversives, Jews, the zealots, and all the people that hated Rome. He was on guard against them. But notice what it says after that. It says he was a devout man. He was a devout man. That word indicates that here's a guy who was disciplined in his spiritual life. He was disciplined in his spiritual life. And, you know, Taylor, I think that is something that's sadly missing a lot today. It's if you hear the word devout, what goes through your mind when you hear that word? If somebody says he's a devout man.
Obedient. Yeah, that's what I would think of, an obedient, God-fearing person, someone who loves God.
Yeah, and a lot of times people think, well, that means he goes to church a lot.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But some people think that, oh, yeah, he's devout. Some people might use the term religious. But it's somebody who is devoted to the disciplines of God, devoted to loyalty to God, somebody who fears God, it says, with all his household. So what does that tell you about him?
Well, that he was, I guess household, that goes beyond his children, but I would say you're raising your children in the fear of the Lord, but you're also setting an example that the people around you are compelled by, and therefore they want to follow as well.
Yeah, and so what we see is God coming to Cornelius, and he is going to appear through an angel to him. He's going to instruct him how to be saved, how to move from being an unbeliever to a true believer, how to move from being outside of God's family and inside. And when we come back, we're going to further look at that.
All right, so stick with us. We will be back with more after the break. We'd like to give a shout out to our listeners listening in Virginia at the Lighthouse, as well as in Meridian, Mississippi, listening on WMER as well as all of our local listeners, 91.7 in Jacksonville, 91.9 in St. Augustine, and 91.3 in Folkestone, Georgia. We'd also like to give a shout out to our listeners listening online, wherever you are in the country or around the world. You are listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkestone, Georgia. Online at
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Bad news for President Biden in a new national poll from USA Today and Suffolk University. 44% of independents say Mr. Biden has done worse than they expected, and so do 16% of those who vote for him. The USA Today Suffolk University survey also finds that more than a quarter of Democrats don't want Joe Biden to run for re-election. Starting today, anyone going to a shopping mall, theater, or gym in Los Angeles must verify that they're vaccinated. The mandate, among the strictest in the country, requires proof of shots for anyone entering a wide variety of businesses. Mayor Eric Garcetti says the rules will encourage people to get vaccinated and make businesses safer for employees and customers. Stocks remain higher. The Dow is up 92 points, the NASDAQ 31 points. This is SRN News.
No active accidents, but there is a disabled truck to be aware of on Butler Boulevard eastbound beyond the east end of the Intercoastal. And there's another disabled truck on I-95 heading south before I-10 eastbound. And there's congestion on the East Beltway 295 southbound from Hector Drive to the north end of the Dames Point Bridge. Clear and cool tonight, low 46, Tuesday sunny, high up to 73.
This is Pastor Zach Terry, teacher on the daily radio broadcast, Maximum Life. If you're weary of the negative news, maybe you're fearful of what the future might bring, let me encourage you to tune in to Maximum Life each weekday morning at 10 a.m. for uplifting truth and practical teaching straight from God's Word. That's Maximum Life, weekdays at 10 a.m. right here on The Truth.
To SWAT Radio. That was Red Letters by David Crowder. If you are just joining us, we are looking at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 33, this week. And today we're looking at verses 1 through 8. We just read the text and are now diving deeper into Cornelius and what life was like for him and what it meant for the angel to appear to him and how he responds.
Yeah, and we were talking about the word devout, really what it means before we went. The Greek word there is the word eusebes, and it means somebody who is reverent or worshipful. It does also use the term religious in their devotion, and that's what he was known for. He was known as a devout man who feared God with his household. Like you said, it's not just his children, it's his servants too. And he gave alms generously to the people. He gave to the poor. It says he prayed continually. Now, here's what's crazy, Taylor, is he's not a believer. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit in him.
Yeah.
But he probably prays the most people here who say they have the Holy Spirit in them.
Yeah.
He gives to people probably more than people that say they have the Spirit in them. I mean, here's a guy who was seeking a relationship with the one true living God. And I think what's so amazing about this story is, you know, you hear all the time people say, well, what about the native? God's not going to send the people in Africa to hell or the people in India to hell that have never heard. Listen, if God has people anywhere on the earth that are his, he will get a messenger to him.
Yeah.
And we see that in this story. Because God had a divinely orchestrated plan. And one of the things that we need to take note of is that he is absolutely sovereign in who he chooses. I mean, Cornelius grew up in Rome, probably, more than likely. He grew up in and around Rome, part of the Italian cohort that was sent over there. And he grew up worshiping pagan gods, more than likely. And at some point, he came to the point where he'd gone, this is ridiculous. This isn't working. They don't hear me. They don't, you know, they don't, who am I even praying to? Caesar's? And remember, he was in Caesar's army. And what was required of every person, not just the soldiers, but the people of Rome, they had to pay tribute to Caesar as a god.
Yeah, give a pinch to Caesar. Yeah.
They had to pay tribute to him. And so he was more than just a citizen. He was a soldier. And he was more than just a soldier. He was a centurion. So he had to lead people in honoring Caesar as God. But at some point, he's going, this doesn't add up for me. I don't know if you're out there even, and you've, this is your life. You've been searching your whole life to find peace. And you really do want a relationship with the one true living God, because deep inside of you, God has placed his fingerprint on you and says, you're mine. You are mine. But you've never lived in the power of his Holy Spirit. You've never really felt the peace of being reconciled to the one true living God. And like Cornelius, I believe he was praying for salvation. He was praying for God to reveal himself. And what happens is God does. He reveals himself and he's sovereign. We see, you know, people struggle with this whole idea of sovereignty and salvation. And remember in Galatians 1:15, we covered when Paul was persecuting Christians on the road, not seeking God. He says, before the foundation of the world, what? God picked me.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to pull that Galatians 1 out of the Bible if you deny the God's sovereignty and salvation. You have to pull Romans 9 out of the Bible if you deny God's sovereignty and salvation. And so it's not Calvinism. It is biblical. People give these systematic terms because people write systematic theologies to try to explain a lot of stuff. And some of it's good. Some of it gets taken to an extreme. But the bottom line is God is absolutely sovereign in choosing his people. It's throughout Scripture. John 6:44, Jesus speaking says, no one can come to me unless what?
Unless my Father
draws him.
Yeah.
What? Well, wait a minute. I can't even come to you unless God the Father starts drawing me. That's what he says. Over in Acts 13:48, just a few chapters later, when they're talking about the Gentiles, it says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. This is in verse 48. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Wait a minute. Those who were appointed believed. So that's resting with God. But yet we are not robots. We have a human responsibility to respond, and we do. It's somehow God reconciles those two things together in a way that we can't explain. And I think if we could explain it, it would probably mean it's not of God. I think, you know, if we can figure it out.
Yeah.
God didn't want us to figure that out. But listen what he says about Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Does that give you encouragement, Taylor, to think that before you were even a thought in your dad's mind to marry your mom, he knew you would be here, right here, doing this?
Yeah, I think it just highlights how immense, how much more God is as a being than we can really even comprehend. You know what I mean? To really, it's just, he's so far beyond us that without him moving in the world.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It really is. And I think a lot of times we bring him down so we can understand him. And we think because we can understand algebra and calculus that we can understand the Almighty God. Yeah. His ways are not our ways. And so he is absolutely sovereign in choosing his people. But we also see he's sovereign in choosing his timing. Because it was here 10 years after Jesus was resurrected. 2 years after Peter had been in Joppa. Why now? Well, because that's when God wanted it to happen, right? Isaiah 65, 24 says, before they call, I will answer. Why do you think Cornelius was praying to the God of all creation, possibly to be saved?
Because God was drawing him to Christ.
Exactly. And so how could Isaiah write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, before they call, I will answer, except God knows he's moving in people to call. And when those prayers are answered, your faith grows and you begin. That's that relationship, right? And over in Acts 16, verse 7, Paul tried to go to Asia and Mysia, and it said they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Why? Why would not God allow them to go over there? Well, because he didn't want them to go right then. And so often we get frustrated with God. You know, and we look at modern evangelism methods in the church and church growth. Well, of course God wants big churches. Well, does he? Why wouldn't he want a big army? He didn't want Gideon to have a big army. He whittled him down to 300. And we go, but yeah, but we need to get more people in the church. Well, maybe. What if he wants your church to only have 200 in it? And he wants to use your church in neat ways. What if he only wants your Bible study to have five people in it? You know, we get so caught up on success the way it looks like. You have all these books out there about goal setting, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having goals, but when those goals are human driven, and you think that if you have this humongous 30,000 member church,
you gonna know any of them?
Yeah, and well, if everybody gives $1, you got $30,000. If you have 10 people in the church, 10 people, and everybody gives $3,000. Which is like more amazing? I mean, if you have 10 people in church and you need $30,000, you go, or let's say $300,000. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, in the same way, when God told Gideon, you got too many people. I want you to whittle down. Why? Because I don't want you to get the glory. So God is sovereign in his people when he chooses. He's sovereign in his timing, how he works. And he's sovereign in his plan. Isaiah 55:8 says, my plans are not like yours. God's sovereign who he sends, he's sovereign how he sends, and he's sovereign when he sends. And as we look at the divinely ordained priest, we'll get into that tomorrow, we're going to look at how he worked. Now, just to real quick to get back to the text, it was the ninth hour of the day. You know what goes on during the ninth hour of the day? That's about 3 p.m. It's the evening sacrifice.
Oh.
Wow. Now, here's the thing. It says Cornelius was a God-fearer. He feared God. There were three categories of non-Jewish people. There was your pagan Gentile, there was a God-fearing Gentile, and there was the converted Gentile who was a proselyte. The proselyte usually had been circumcised. He was in the second category. So he feared God, but why? And he was good to the Jewish people. But why would he not have been circumcised? Well, maybe he had heard about Jesus being the sacrifice. And maybe he didn't feel compelled to go join the Jewish temple worship because they were still doing sacrifices, right? Ten years after the Christ's death. It didn't stop till 70 AD. And so they're still doing that, but he didn't do that. And so it was about the hour of the evening sacrifice when he was praying, and an angel came and said, Cornelius, and he stared in terror. Now, this is a Roman centurion that was terrorized by this angel. So these people out there, it goes, yeah, I had an angel pop in on me. And they go, what'd you do? I was just talking to him and just chilling out. Right. It probably wasn't a real angel.
Yeah.
Probably was some kind of weird manifestation. But he said, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And when we come back, people can call, but I want to just talk about Simon the tanner and Simon by the sea. He was there for 2 years and the significance of that when we come back.
All right, so stick with us. We will be back with more after the break. You are listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
I push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself. Pounding on a locked door, I try to make it out alone without your help. But I know I'll never win this war. I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you.
That is Freedom Hymn by Austin French. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. If you are just joining us, we are looking at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 33 this week. Today, we're focusing on verses 1 through 8. If you would like to join the discussion or if you have any questions, please call us at 1-844-777-SWAT. That's 1-844-777-7928. Or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com.
Well, I want to go back to verse 4 real quick, Taylor. When he says your prayers and alms, in other words, your devotion to me and how you've put me on display to people, even though you're not even a believer, you don't have the Holy Spirit, have ascended as a memorial before God. That word means something to be remembered. So isn't that interesting that in the inspiration of the Spirit, what God is saying is, here's a guy who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in him yet. He's not been baptized in the Spirit, but his heart is soft toward me. He's praying and connecting with me. He wants to connect with me, and he's going out doing those things that I've asked my people to do. And so the angel said, now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Now, what's interesting about this is if Peter was there for 2 years, which several commentators have made that connection there through looking at different chronologies,
mm-hmm.
that if he was there for 2 years in the home of a tanner, a tanner is somebody that worked with dead animals who would have technically been unclean to Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
ceremonially unclean. But Peter obviously stayed there in that house for 2 years. And when God's angel told Cornelius to send people there, he sent not only two servants, but it says he sent a devout soldier. He sent a devout soldier. This is somebody who was loyal to him because he wanted to make sure these people went there, communicated to Simon Peter, and he sent them to Joppa. And, you know, as we think about this divinely orchestrated plan, what we're going to see tomorrow, not tomorrow, but Wednesday, is that while Cornelius is having this interaction with God, God is already prepping Peter for what's going to happen. And, you know, I guess God could have revealed Cornelius's name to him, but Cornelius's name wasn't important. Why? He was just a Roman centurion. Why was Peter's name important? He was the leader of the way.
Yeah.
He would have known him. He would have made a connection to the fact that this was the guy who has been arrested twice, who was he was like on the Roman top 10 most wanted, you know, because of this subversion stuff. And so, but don't miss this, that in every salvation experience, God works through a divinely orchestrated plan. That means if you're his, there was a divine plan, and you should be grateful for how he's worked, that he chose you. Be grateful for the people he brought into your life, not just to bring you to the point of submission and surrender to him, but even those who have helped grow you. I think gratitude is always a good thing, that we should be grateful for the people God uses in our life. And it should really drive us to want to be faithful priests to other people just because of what's been done for us. And I think we miss out on that. We view being a priest as an obligation. We view being a priest as a demand on our schedule we don't want to deal with, instead of really being grateful and saying, okay, I want to do whatever he wants because I don't deserve to be here.
Right.
And so so that's that divinely orchestrated plan. When we come back Wednesday, we're going to jump down into verse 9 all the way through probably 33. We'll probably try to get all the rest of it and look at how he was preparing Peter and how they both had opportunities to profess loyalty to God and display their true belief in God, and then also how the presence of God was so visible in Peter and those with him that Cornelius said, we are here in the presence of God. I mean, that's amazing. I don't think that phrase is used again in the New Testament, I don't think, except for right there. So, and where was God's presence? It was in Peter and the six men with him. So, yeah, so that's pretty much it for today. You got any thoughts or questions?
Well, it's just interesting kind of how you laid out that about him being a Roman centurion. Obviously, that'd be somebody who had, you know, a good amount of wealth, but also status. But then to think about, you know, maybe Peter's reaction, if there hadn't been, you know, any vision and he hadn't been prepped at all, like, man, okay, wait a minute. There's a Roman centurion that wants to see me, and here's a Roman soldier that came with him with two servants. Like, how legit is, you know, is this some sort of a trap or something? Because, you know, if you think about, like, political intrigue and, you know, the way being a threat to peace and stability, well, hey, maybe we'll do a little bit of this to get rid of, cut off the head of the snake, I guess, how the Romans would have seen it. You know what I mean?
Well, recently I had one of our SWAT guys brought up something. You know, we've obviously had the chosen writer-director, Dallas Jenkins, on a couple of times. He's recently come under fire because of
the Mormon stuff.
Yeah, some Mormon stuff. But, you know, when you stop and think about it, I want you to go back to Peter. And I want you to think about what was going on in Peter's life. I think a lot of times we write off whole churches, a lot of times, or cults, whatever, it doesn't matter, because of what we've heard about them and because people are there. But God may have people within those groups that are his. Now, I'm not saying that you endorse the group. And I listened to his interviews two or three times because I was upset when I first heard it. But if you go back and you listen to the interview, unless I'm not hearing correctly, he doesn't endorse the group. He endorses the people. And he sees them as his friends. And he is trying to, you know, I think trying to witness to them is what I get out of it. I could be wrong in that, but I think a lot of times we write off whole groups when God may have people in there. Peter could have easily had written off Cornelius because he was Roman and said, I'm not going to do this. In fact, God had to give him the vision three mm-hmm. times, right? And so I think that if we have a bad experience with some group or we're familiar with their warped theology, we can write off the whole group when maybe I know personally people that were very high up in the Mormon church that God called out through personal witness of people to them. Again, you have to be careful that you don't get perceived as saying this is okay. Like, I know there have been people who saying, well, I don't know if what they believe. I can tell you as a whole, what the Mormons teach, if you get into their teaching, is very warped theology. It's a very works-based theology.
Well, yeah, and their theology, like who they believe God is not.
Well, they believe Jesus is and Satan were brothers. Now, if you go into a Mormon church tomorrow, they're not going to start you off with that.
Yeah,
you don't learn some of these things until you get very high up within
the church.
They've
gone through your endowment ceremony. Yeah, but they believe in essence that I think it said, as God was, so we are; as God is, so we will become. And the idea is that God is not a all-knowing, all-powerful being. He's a being that has ascended to that place, and so that in their theology, God can change his mind, because you know, up until the 1970s, black people couldn't attain the priesthood, quote unquote, so they couldn't be part of the church. And then the Quorum of the Twelve come out and say, "Oh, well, now that can happen." And we would say, "Well, that's an inconsistency." Hello, and they'd say, "Well, no, God changes his mind. He's learning things just like we are." And so,
well, that's blasphemous,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So they have a very warped theology, as you say, but there are plenty of people in the Mormon church who they don't know this stuff.
I'd say the same thing even about the Roman Catholic Church. The church as an institution has very warped theology. But if it wasn't for the Catholic Church, we wouldn't have copies of the scriptures today. And so, again, I think one of the things that comes out of this text to me is that God calls Peter to be a priest and go into a very uncomfortable situation for him. And because God is sovereign who he calls, and he's sovereign how he calls, and he's sovereign when he calls. And so we can't put limits on God. And that's all I'm trying to say, even about Dallas Jenkins and whatever. Listen, I have had no problems theologically with what I've seen on the Chosen TV series. I personally probably would not have made some of the statements that he's made, but he's not me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I listened to the interviews, and I know some people have expressed concern, but I didn't hear anything that caused me alarm. I still think it's a lot to give you culture. I mean, I like the series because it does give you culture. And you get a picture of even Romans in some of the ways they may have interacted and things. But again, it's a TV show. It's not scripture. They do try to, they try to condense a lot of stuff together. And they made the caveat that, hey, we know this isn't scripture. We're just trying to get people to go to the Bible. Mm-hmm. If that's their goal, I applaud them for that. I think it's a great way to do that. We need to go to the Bible. I told somebody earlier today, the Bible is our only source of truth. That's our source of truth. Mm-hmm. If you want to know anything about how to know the one true living God, the Bible is it. There is no source outside of the Bible and the Holy Spirit working through that word to get into your heart. So I hope you'll stay with us this week. Tomorrow, real quick, also, I want to remind you that Holly Snell, we're going to replay that Holly Snell interview, Dancing on My Ashes, powerful story. Tune in, and then Taylor and I'll be back on Wednesday.
All right. You've been listening to SWAT Radio. If you missed any of this program or would like to listen to past programs, please visit us at www.swatradio.com. That's www.swatradio.com. Or you can listen to our podcast by searching SWAT Radio, and you can also download our SWAT app in the App Store. Join us weekdays at 3 o'clock for more SWAT Radio. We will see you then. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a great day.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.